This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. President Bush leaves today for Senegal, the first stop in a five-nation tour of Africa. The president's trip comes as the United States considers sending peacekeeping troops to Liberia, where President Charles Taylor has said he would accept an offer of asylum from Nigeria without saying when he would leave office. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, the last stop on the president's schedule, police shot and killed 10 people today as a general strike over fuel prices enters its second week. While the president will no doubt focus on these conflicts during his trip, he also plans to promote what he calls Africa's success stories and talk about issues like AIDS and economic development during stops in South Africa, Botswana, and Uganda. This week, we'll be focusing on the five countries President Bush will visit this week and the future of U.S.-African relations. Call us with your comments and questions. What do you hope will result from the president's trip? Are you from or have you spent time in one of the countries he'll visit this week? We'd like to hear your thoughts on future relations between the U.S. and Africa. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. The email address is totn@npr.org. We're going to start with a country that is not on the president's itinerary, but where there's pressure from the United States to send peacekeepers. Joining us from Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, is Reuters correspondent Alfonso Towe. Thanks for being with us, Alfonso. Can you give us an update of what's happening today in Monrovia?
Yes, in Monrovia today, the situation is a bit quiet, except that about 30 humanitarian workers from the U.S. that arrived here today at the U.S. Embassy in Monrovia. That's the most important news here on the ground. And to let you know, the assessment team is here to have an overview of humanitarian work here and to see how best the U.S. can provide some humanitarian assistance here to Liberia. And then secondly, in the city today, people have been reacting to the gesture from the Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo about President Taylor's exit into that country. That is the main thing that's been happening here in the capital city now.
Right. Now, President Bush had called on President Taylor to step down, and President Taylor said that he would accept asylum in Nigeria. But is there any news on when he will step down and when he might leave for Nigeria?
Absolutely no news from him, but a few days ago he did tell the press that he will leave from office anytime, any day. That's an exact quote from him. I will leave from power anytime, any day. But I must also add, according to him, that I will not be on this earth a day before or a day after that God has destined me to live here. So actually, there's no date yet set. So everyone is like sitting, watching, waiting eagerly to see what next is he's going to do and what next he's going to say again.
Now, the United States put some pressure on Charles Taylor to step down. Is there pressure coming from anywhere else as well?
I think the main thing here is the pressure really is from U.S. And just to tell you that Liberia's relation with U.S. is a very huge one today, and whatever President Bush has said is taken seriously here. So there isn't even a need for any country to even talk, because it's like, well, Bush has spoken, and so that is it. Some people here have considered Bush as the president of the world, so whatever he has said, Taylor has no option. That's what they say, that he will have to go, because whenever Bush speaks, then the world speaks. That's how people put it. And also to let you know, President Taylor has said in the past that when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world gets cold. So since Bush indeed has spoken, it means maybe he might as well get cold now.
What do the people there want from the United States at this point?
Really, the people here want U.S. to intervene militarily. That is the ultimate goal they all have now. That is a prayer, that is a wish, that is a desire that there should be an immediate deployment of U.S. troops here. They prefer a U.S. troop to lead a multinational force because they believe that if the U.S. troops are here, there will be cessation of hostilities and the escalation of war will not continue at all. So, and secondly, the people look at the relation between America and U.S. to be very strong, dating, I mean, far back as from 1816 all through outcoming up to this present time. So that is the rule many Liberians are looking at, and even people in the region are looking at that as well.
Is there any concern there about a possible power vacuum if Taylor leaves office, if and when he leaves office?
That is the concern here. Many people are afraid that, well, if President Taylor leaves, where will his fighters be? Who will control the fighters? And what will be the next action? So they believe that there should not be any vacuum. What many people believe here is that the vice president should take over from the president, because constitutionally, it is the vice president that's supposed to act in the absence of the president. So if the president is out of the country, or whatever the case may be, the rightful decision to take now is for the president, the vice president, to take over. And then if any other arrangement will be put in place, then that can come on later. So the fear here is power vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Who will fill in that gap?
Now, you mentioned earlier there's a team, I believe you mentioned at the beginning, that there's a team of U.S. military specialists has arrived there, and accompanied by about a dozen Marines. What are they doing exactly?
No, exactly. Those that arrive here, they consider themselves, the name they gave themselves is humanitarian assessment team.
Mm-hmm.
That is, but the way they dress, I depict to someone that, well, improbably they might have had their own military sense, but they consider themselves as an assessment team. That is what they're going to do. But tomorrow, my understanding is that they will move around to visit some display centers, specific areas that they think they can go. And then after that, they will make a report to Washington, and then Washington will now act upon their report.
And what's the response of the people there to the arrival of this team of U.S. specialists?
They were happy. In fact, when they heard that the team of an assessment team came, they thought it was the troops that came. So I spoke to a couple of people when I asked them, well, are you aware that the team is here? They said, oh, you mean the peacekeeping troop from America? Oh, we are happy.
Uh-huh.
And we said, oh, no, that's an assessment team. So they said, oh, no, we want the troops to be here immediately. There should not be any delay, because whenever there's a delay, there's going to be probably an outbreak of another war. So everyone is happy to get the Americans involved in this conflict, and especially they want for the U.S. to send troops here now. That's what they believe, and that's what they want to happen.
Now, of course, President Bush is not visiting Liberia, but how are people there reacting to his visit to Africa, to the fact that he is visiting five other African countries?
His visit to Africa, even though it's not in Liberia, I tell you, many people in Africa are happy and do think that, well, the visit of President Bush is timely, and they do hope that will strengthen relationship between Africa and America. And even though he's not coming to Liberia, I tell you, many Liberians are eager to hear what he's going to say, even in South Africa, what he's going to say in South Africa, what he's going to say in Senegal, what he's going to say in Nigeria, and what he's going to say in Botswana and other countries that he's going to visit. So thousands of Liberians around are with eagerly to hear what he's going to say and to hear what comments he's going to take, what decision he's going to take to affect Liberia positively in that line.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Alfonso.
Thank you.
Alfonso Towe is a correspondent for Reuters News Service, and he spoke with us from Monrovia, Liberia. And with us now in Studio 3A to talk about the president's trip to Africa is Akwe Amosu. She's the executive editor of AllAfrica.com, which provides news about Africa on the Internet. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
As we were just talking to Alfonso about, the president's not going to Liberia, but of course Liberia is very much in the news with the possibility of the U.S. sending a peacekeeping force there Why isn't the president going there, first of all?
Things are a little insecure in Monrovia at the moment. I don't imagine that it would be considered an ideal location for the US president to find himself at this moment. And in fact, the entourage was originally going to be going to Kenya, and the recent warnings of terror attacks there apparently ruled it out as a location for President Bush to visit. So I think there's a lot of caution, a lot of anxiety to make sure that he's safe, and he won't be going anywhere where there's any danger at all to his person.
He is going to Nigeria, and 10 people were killed today in Nigeria. There's a general strike going on there. Before we get into what's behind that, I mean, is there any possibility you think that they would cancel that trip for security reasons, or do you think that they've looked into it and feel that that country's pretty safe?
Well, President Bush himself said to us, to All Africa, in an interview last Thursday, that he was going no matter what, even if it meant he had to make his own bed in the hotel. And he obviously feels that it'll have to be pretty serious to stop him going. This is an important relationship for the US in Africa. And unless things are really impossible, in which case I think the Nigerians themselves would say, I don't think you should come, then I think that he will try and make sure he goes. This is the eighth day of the national strike, and it's a very hot issue. It's one of passions run very high, and it's in a way surprising that there has not been an event of this kind already, given the fact that the strike's been running for over a week. They have been quite close to a deal in the past couple of days, and the two sides are not too far apart. So I'm sure there are hopes in the capital, Abuja, that they will get this matter sorted out before he arrives at the weekend.
Can you give us a sense of what's behind the general strike for the American audience who may not be that familiar with the situation in Nigeria?
There has long been an intention on the part of the government of President Obasanjo to increase the price of gasoline, of what's called petrol there. And during his recent re-election campaign, the president warned that he intended to do this in his second term. And sure enough, within a few weeks of being elected, he has done it. I think many observers were shocked to discover that he was not only increasing the price of fuel, but he was doing it by 54%. In a country in which there is massive poverty among the vast majority of people, that is a very, very hefty increase to have to cope with, but it's also highly inflationary. And I think that the unions were both flabbergasted by the size of the increase, but also consolidated in their determination to oppose it. And that's really what happened. They said, no, you can't increase fuel to this kind of price. We're going to oppose you. We're going to call a national strike. And we haven't seen a strike like this since the 60s in Nigeria. And I think there was quite a lot of skepticism that they could make it stick. But it's been pretty solid so far, with a couple of exceptions.
Now, the president has said that on this this trip, he wants to showcase African success stories. What he calls African success stories. What does he mean by that?
Well, the places he's chosen to go to are places where, in the administration's view, there are good stories to tell. Senegal, for example, his first stop, is a country which has successfully managed democratic transitions. It's a country where they have very successfully managed to control their HIV infection rate. It's a country that has stood very strongly beside the US in its anti-terror campaign. And so, I think President Bush wants to both reward that support, but also to say, look, here's a country that is doing things right. In South Africa, I think he's going to be praising President Mbeki's leadership, although there'll be some discomfort about the opposition of the Mbeki government to the action in Iraq. In Botswana, very strong economic performer, again, being very proactive on dealing with HIV. Uganda, very good on HIV, but not so good on issues to do with conflict resolution and democracy. And I know President Bush will want to talk about that.
We're going to talk more about President Bush's trip to Africa after a short break. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Send us an email at totn@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. President Bush leaves tonight for a five-nation trip to Africa. We're talking about what he hopes to accomplish and what Africans think of the president's visit. Our guest is Akwe Amoso, executive editor of allafrica.com, an online news source about Africa. What do you hope will result from the president's trip? Are you from or have you spent time in one of the countries he'll visit this week? Call us with your comments and questions, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's take a question from Francienne in Swedesboro, New Jersey.
Hi, this is Francienne from Swedesboro, New Jersey. I just want to comment that I believe the president's policy on AIDS and HIV in Africa will only be successful if we have political stability in African countries. You cannot allocate money to help AIDS victims if governments are using the money inappropriately. The plan would just not be successful. I believe that AIDS victims will need to go to hospitals and they will need to be medicated. And if they can't be safely transported to a hospital or, you know, to treatment centers without dodging bullets and guns, then they won't be treated.
All right.
I just want to comment that we need to look at the whole policy in light of stability in Africa as a whole.
All right, let's get our guest, Akwe Amosu, the executive editor of AllAfrica.com, to respond to that. And let's talk also, Akwe, about the $15 billion which President Bush has pledged to help fight global AIDS. Much of that money will go to Africa, but Congress hasn't appropriated it all. But how is it going to be spent, and how much effect is it really going to have on AIDS in Africa?
Well, I think if the money is appropriated and is made available, the money will be spent in a variety of different ways, some on treatment, some on prevention. And the administration says it intends to discuss precisely those issues in the course of this trip. And I'm sure those discussions are ongoing already. The real issue, I think, especially for critics of the administration, is that money ever actually going to get dispersed? We're already seeing signs out of Congress that suggest that the kinds of amount that President Bush wants appropriated for this fund are really far too big in their view. They've never voted those kinds of sums for the beginnings of a program, and they want to see a lot more detail. And I think from the African point of view, there's a little bit of suspicion. There's a bit of fear that this was a wonderful high-profile announcement in the State of the Union address, and there's been enormous kudos for the administration for this pledge and for this commitment and for the kind of caring, a compassionate approach that the administration is taking. But there are afraid that kudos will be very good, will work in favor of President Bush and his re-election campaign, but that the money will never actually fully get drawn down and do the work it needs to do on the continent. So there's a lot of anxiety.
I wonder what a lot of African leaders and many people in Africa are feeling about this trip, if they're feeling something similar. That is, it's a very high-profile trip to Africa, a lot of political reasons perhaps for doing it. Are they somewhat skeptical of the motivations of the president going into Africa, or they think he's sincerely interested in Africa's future?
Well, President Bush has made a good impression, I think, by meeting over 20 African heads of state since he came to office, by being engaged on issues like Sudan and taking seriously a lot of the concerns that Africans have. There is, nonetheless, on the ground, I think, a lot of doubt. There was a lot of unhappiness about the unilateral approach that was taken over Iraq. That at grassroots level, in the press, and at governmental level, a lot of noise is being made about this not being the right way to do things. I think President Bush knows from what he said to us last Thursday that he has some work to do to try and get the message across that he's genuine, that he's really committed. And the way that will be measured, I suspect, on the ground in Africa is, you know, is he really prepared to do the things that we think need to be done? He has given a lot of sermons, a lot of nice words about needing to support democracy, about the importance of economic stability and a range of other things, supporting the environment and so on. But we know we need you to come and help on Liberia right now. We need you to get us that HIV/AIDS money now. We don't need it in 3 years' time. The situation is pretty urgent as it is. We need you to deal with debt. And I think most fundamentally, people will want to hear from him something about subsidies. Now, that's a very difficult issue for him. It may come as a surprise to listeners in America to know that a frozen chicken exported from this country to a country like Nigeria is cheaper than a chicken local locally produced in Nigeria. That's what subsidies do. Subsidies, agricultural subsidies applied at this end that support the farming community, may be very good here in keeping people in work and employed. They're a disaster for African production and trade. And I think people will want to know, you know, are you seriously concerned to help? If so, can you do something about that issue?
You know, when President Bush was running for office, he indicated that he did not consider Africa to be a priority, and yet he is paying more attention to it than was expected. Why is that?
Well, I think that the knee-jerk reaction has often been, in many countries, not only here in the United States, but particularly here, has been, well, Africa's really off the map. All they need is help, and we can decide whether we want to give that help or not. And it doesn't really matter if we don't give that help. I think that has changed very fundamentally. The Clinton administration began to recognize that this was one of the world's largest unexploited markets, a market that the United States would need for the future. And that for it to be able to exploit that market, it would need to help stabilize the continent. That it said that the U.S. itself had played quite a strong role in what had happened on the continent over throughout the Cold War. That it was time to deal with that. I think the Republicans have come to the same conclusion, that it is necessary to engage. And 9/11 did everything to underpin that. There's now a recognition, which that at the beginning sounded like, you know, wild left-wing propaganda, but now is taken as normal, that a failed state, a weak state, conditions in which there's no transparency, in which it's easy for people to operate under the radar, is a state where terrorism can take root, where the things that terrorism needs to thrive in terms of getting funding, training, that kind of thing, can happen in places which are not stable and well governed. And it is very much in the United States' interest to make sure that stability is achieved. And I think the good thing for people who are thinking, well, why is it always us who have to come out and help Africa, is that within Africa, there's a very, very strong drive among African heads of state and middle classes, educated classes, to try and make progress on these fronts themselves. It's the New Partnership for African Development. It's a major program to promote transparency and political transfer of power. And I think those things are a good sign. And if the U.S. can get in there and support those things, then we're looking at perhaps some better signs for the future.
We're looking at U.S.-Africa relations and President Bush's trip to Africa this week. We'd like to hear your questions and comments. Give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And let's go to Larry in Davis, California. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking the call. I really agree with the comments of your previous two guests, especially on the part that George Bush seems to be making the right moves. On your comment that George Bush considered Africa kind of a non-priority during his election, he also said that about foreign affairs, and that's about, frankly, all he's been involved in since he's been in office is foreign affairs. The domestic side has been pretty well dropped. My question is this: why do you think he is skipping in his tour the countries with the most problems, like where the famine is in northeast Africa, like the virtual civil war in Nigeria, frankly, like Liberia itself, something like a face-to-face meeting with Charles Taylor or you know, at least a visit to the country would carry a lot more weight than a press release saying he's got to go. And in fact, this is being overly dramatic, I realize, and the security problems would be prohibitive probably. But if there's some way he could, like, escort Charles Taylor himself out of Liberia into Nigeria where he's accepted exile, that would be a coup that would be hard for him to top the rest of his tenure. And I'll take my answer on the radio and leave the phone alone.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, Larry.
Well, let's not forget that Charles Taylor is an indicted criminal. He's been indicted by the war crimes court in Sierra Leone for war crimes, and I'm sure that the last thing that President Bush would like to do is find himself in an aeroplane with Charles Taylor. At the same time, I think I understand where the call is coming from. There is a feeling, I think, in some corners in Africa that there's a lot of sermons, a lot of advice, But the real big problems, and famine is, you know, one thing we haven't spoken about, but we're, some of these countries are seeing the worst droughts that they've had, and up to 15 million people are facing starvation at the moment. I think it is true that people are looking for more comment from President Bush on actual problems as they exist now and recognition of those problems, rather than so much focus on the things that the administration would like Africa to do. That doesn't mean, I think, that people aren't appreciative where they believe that the policies that the administration is pursuing are positive for Africa. But it's a bit, for example, the issue of terrorism, it's a bit difficult for people to understand that we're so focused on the possibility of a terrorist threat when in countries like Congo, Eastern Congo, Sudan, Northern Uganda right now, where absolutely horrific kidnaps, abductions of children are happening, that those aren't terrorism too, that those aren't things that that merit enormous attention and support and action. And I think if we get that kind of discussion and talk coming out of the president and his officials, there will be perhaps a little bit more openness to the wider agenda.
Give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Siaka in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Siaka.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I have a threefold point to make. First thing, African countries must address the element of corruption. That's in Africa, and it's a threat to Africa's prosperity. Second thing is that Africa needs to partner with America and the EU, but what we need is comparative advantage. You take a country like Tanzania, for example, who are good at making coffee. They need access into foreign markets instead of us having this whole thing of managed trade. One thing Bush really can do, I think I applaud the president because this is a great first step by any Republican president. But we need to open the border so we have free trade, and so free trade can work in the way that it should. Hernando de Soto, for example, talks about why capitalism triumphs in the West and fails everywhere else. Africans come to the United States and Europe and get the best education, so it's not inconceivable to know that we can produce, we can manufacture, and we can compete. But this whole idea of managed trade really affects us. And the last point I'd like to make is, when all these things are accomplished, there is a market-dominated minority in Africa that has to be curtailed. We want the effects of capitalism, of growth, to really go down to the ordinary citizen. And I will take my answers, I guess, off the air. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, Siaka. And our guest is Akwe Amosu. She's the executive editor of allafrica.com, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And what's your reaction to that call?
Well, I think the administration would say they're doing a lot to support trade through the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, which was actually originated in the Clinton administration, but which has been built on by this administration. There are now, I think, 6,000 African goods coming into this country duty-free, and that is under a program of deliberately trying to stimulate and support African production and trade. I go back to what I said earlier. Unless the other dimensions of the restrictions on trade are addressed in terms of subsidies and barriers, I think it will be very difficult for people to say that there is anything like a level playing field. And I would agree with the caller that there is a very desperate need to address the trade issues. There isn't any sign right now, however, that domestically that would be an acceptable proposition. And even President Bush in our interview last Thursday said that there is a protectionist streak that runs under the surface of U.S. society. And I think he knows that he'd have a big fight on his hands. Nonetheless, I think it's what Africa and indeed a much wider global community expects of the United States, that it will address this issue. And I also think it's very difficult to criticize others like the EU, which also has a very heavy subsidies regime, to do something about their problem if nothing's happening over here.
You know, we were talking earlier about the fact that President Bush has said he wants to focus on success stories in Africa. And I was wondering, to what degree can the countries which he's visiting serve as models for the rest of Africa?
Well, in different ways, I think there's no doubt that they can. And just to avoid the impression that the impetus is coming from completely from the outside, I think it's important to note that within the African Union, there is a very strong push to try and learn the lessons, see the best practice, and indeed to judge worst practice as a result of the new Partnership for African Development and the African Union's developments. We will have very soon, it is said, a peer review mechanism in which eminent persons on the African continent will be asked to assess events, government performance, economic decisions made on the continent which work against the interests of ordinary Africans. That's one sign that even inside the continent there's a strong determination to learn the lessons and identify the benefits. But I think, yes, on AIDS in particular, I think there will be a value in learning the lessons in places like Senegal, where they've managed to keep their HIV rates, infection rates, below 2%. And that's when you're looking at infection rates of over 30% in some parts of Southern Africa, then you're really looking at something important.
You know, one thing I wonder if you can address, Akwe, and that is that I think so many Americans have trouble just even dealing with Africa because, number one, they're talking about a continent and they have a very hard time differentiating among the different countries and which ones are in good shape, which ones are in trouble, who is afflicted by AIDS, which country is having a famine. I'm just wondering if there's a way that you can shorthand for Americans how they can sort through some of these. The complexities of it. It's very complex.
Well, forgive the self-promotion, but I invite them to come to allafrica.com because it's a big project that you're advocating there. We've got 54 nations and a huge diversity, huge complexity of issues to be dealt with. And I wanted to say that to the earlier caller who was worried about HIV and needing to stabilize before people could get their treatment. It's true. In countries where there is an active conflict going on, it's very difficult to imagine being able to deliver treatment. But there are many countries on the continent which are not in a state of war and indeed are in a position to deliver medication and treatment and support to HIV sufferers. And I think that's extremely important to remember, that it's not an undifferentiated picture of misery, unhappiness, famine and disease. There are many success stories to tell, not only the ones that President Bush has identified.
And perhaps if nothing else, this trip will focus some Americans' attention on the continent and perhaps help them to make some differentiation.
It's to be hoped.
Yeah. When we get back from a short break, we're going to focus on Senegal. That's the first stop on the president's trip. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.